Of you will probably
wanted to. Oh, there she is on the screen, Sister Lucy. That's you. We have the right one, right?
Smile is the same.
Smile is the same. Smile is the same. Sister Lucy is the founder of an organization called Maher. For so many decades, it has been working in remarkable ways. Their tagline is very beautiful. It says, always room for one more. So I remember Sister Lucy was, you know, there are many things you can read about her online if you want to know the specifics, but I'll give you this one thing, you know, that one algorithm that she has. So those who know her well, and those who even don't know her well but have some karma to be around her in difficult situations, know this, the depth to which she takes this notion of always room for one more. So Sister Lucy, if she sees somebody in need, like on the streets, you know, where is Loan? Loan was sharing this morning, you know, that you have, you know, sometimes like there's, you can only do 50 people and, you know, there's so much suffering in the world. Sister Lucy's algorithm is a little different. If she sees somebody in need that's on the street that no one would care for, that needs a lifetime of service, she says, I will bring them home with me. And she has done this with thousands and thousands of people. And then when she was at our home in US, someone asked her, you know, one of these Silicon Valley people, they said, you know, but this is not scalable. It's like, how many people are you going to bring home, you know? And she says, no, I work on God's algorithm. If God shows me the need, it's his job to find me the resources. I'm just an instrument. But anyone can say these things, but how many of us can actually adopt, you know, thousands of people, not just, it's sometimes kids, sometimes elders, sometimes women who have been, you know, profoundly abused. And this is just Sister Lucy. She just has this divine faith. You know, when all else fails, I said, well, how do you manage all this? And she says, you know, first you try these things and all. And then I asked her, like, if all that fails, what do you do? She says, I fall on my feet and I pray. So this is a person who has been in the most, like, just one of her days. If you just look at any average day that she has to, the amount of things she has to hold on her shoulders, most normal human beings would just collapse under that pressure, would collapse under the gravity of human suffering. But somehow, Sister Lucy, she smiles. So we figured someone like that, we cannot just get away with one introduction. So we have a lineup of introductions. Because she won't talk about it. So first half of the interview is just us talking. Because all of us who have experienced it know, you know. So I do want to show this one photo. Here is my clicker. Oh, here. So one of Sister Lucy's hero naturally, she's an interfaith person of interfaith. She is now disrobed formally, but she has been living like a nun for a long time, ever since she found her calling. But naturally, one of her heroes is the Pope. So she always wanted to meet the Pope and bow down to the Pope. So she got a chance a few years ago. When? 2019. Yeah, something like that. 18, 19. I know because I saw the photos, you know. Yeah, I'm going to show it to you. So when Sister Lucy met the Pope, of course, she says, you know, they had a 3-minute meeting, you know, which is a lot with the Pope. And she says, you know, Pope, Father, you call him Father?
His Holiness.
His Holiness. Can I seek your blessings? And he turns to Sister Lucy and says, no, Sister, I seek your blessings. So Sister Lucy is like, oh, he's very humble, but let me still get my blessings. You know, she's like, She's like, that's sweet, but no, I really seek your blessings, you know. And he says, no, I seek your blessings. In a span of 3 minutes, three times she asked and three times he said the same thing. And this is a photo of them. And in case you think that Pope is always smiling and joyous like this because he's the Pope, you know, here's a second photo. I'm just saying, he's not always smiling. This is a much better photo, right? This is, he's with some head of state, you know. I want to invite Swara to share, or maybe Smita Ben first. Yeah, Smita Ben is actually the reason how we originally met. She has known Sister Lucy for a very long time, and Sister Lucy says she's like my Saggi Ben.
Yeah, like we say, Saggi Ben, you can't choose, no? So I'm our Saggi Ben, but he's our soul brother, and they are both so close now. I forget that I've introduced them. I think it is my honor to talk about sister also, because she's an NGO with which we work, and we find it difficult to understand her even today. So she comes from so much trust, and she is not at all with what other NGO leaders are doing. So when we met her and we told her, what is your corpus, sister? So she said, what corpus? We don't have any corpus. And she's running 66 centers, 1,200 SHGs, and they have 2,005 children just now. And she's not worried about where the next meal will come if no donor comes up. She says, oh, he'll send the children, he'll send the money also. And in COVID times also, when she called us up the first time, she says, there are lots of people on the road, we want to feed them. Is there any donor? And then she'll call the next day, don't worry if there's no donor, we'll find money, somehow we'll find money. So that faith of hers, and I asked her today morning, how many people you fed, sister? She says, lakhs and lakhs. She doesn't know the count. And their center is around the slum. Where the slum, you know how Pune and Bombay slums are. Very small house and so many people staying together. So she made one section of the children's place free so that they can be quarantined there. Makeshift quarantine for 50 people. Right, sister? Three homes. And only sister can do that. Our staff was telling, what are you doing, sister? We'll all catch COVID. And she is saying, out of all the staff, only two people got COVID. That also, they didn't need hospitalization. And sister never got COVID. Sister was on the streets everywhere serving COVID patients. And that is sister's faith, which I am trying to even digest today. But whatever she decides, she manages to do it. And sister is working so selflessly and pure intention that her children also, they are so affectionate towards her. When you have to visit Mahir to see what I'm talking about. And she doesn't stop at that. She picks up the aged also. So I have lots of stories to share. Like Nipun Bhai said, if we keep sharing, maybe sister will not get a chance to talk. But if I see her not talking, then maybe I will talk. So I'll keep it reserved.
So I went to Mahir after I met sister in one of the retreats. And so there is a little office in the beginning, and then there is like this big hall. And when we entered the hall, imagine 100 children running to you. And I'm like, wow, is this how they kind of greet you? And they all went and gave a hug to sister, right? And this is just one home. She used to have 40, 45 homes at that time, now 66 homes. And then I was wondering, where does sister live, right? And I haven't seen someone's room like this. So actually, she has this one cabin in the beginning. It's like an office. It has some Godrej ke cupboards. So it's also a storage room. And it has one cot, which is for sister. And then she's like, yeah, yeah, if one of the children who's giving a lot of trouble to other kid, like other kids or staff, they will just come and, you know, spend, like, you know, the night, they will stay with me. Okay, don't worry, the kid will stay with me. So that is like, you know, so there isn't like, oh, this is my space or somebody else's. And I was thinking about her that if I, like, you know, if there is any organizing principle that maybe sister has, it is love, right? Because she used to wear robes earlier, but she gave up that because she said, I can't connect to people. I want people to connect to me easily. So she's like, okay, you know, you give that up. She kind of, as a system of school, or, you know, you have to write the religion sect of a child. And that she said that it doesn't make so much sense. So, you know, the government will ask her to do that. But, you know, love doesn't allow to do that. So she says that, no, 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 I don't want to write that. And I have picked all these things over time, that anything, right, which comes in the way of connection with children, even the staff actually, right, there will be children who are giving her them a hard time, right, kids who have committed, they come from juvenile homes. So they might be even stealing things from Mahir, and they are giving a hard time to the staff over there. And sister is like, no, no, we have to choose love, right? So actually, I don't think so. In a way, sister is by her. Like when I think of you, I think you are by yourself. It's not the staff. The children are also giving a hard time. The government also gives a hard time. But, you know, love is just the organizing principle which kind of guides like everything that, you know, she would be doing. So this is how I know sister. Yeah.
I want to hear more from Sister Lucy too, so I'll try to keep it brief. Just one last story about visiting her. A few years ago, I got to go to one of her homes for children in Pune on Christmas. And it was Christmas Eve, and there were maybe 800, 1,000 kids all gathered there. They were having a celebration. And it was a really beautiful evening. And the next morning at breakfast, we were sitting and eating, and these two girls walk in, older girls, maybe in college. And they walk in, and they look very sheepish. They're kind of shy and like, you know, like they've done something wrong maybe. And they go up to Sister Lucy, and Sister Lucy looks at them, and she goes, like, I'm not talking to you. And... when I saw this, I was like, oh, this is interesting. And then Sister Lucy turns at them and she says, where were you last night? And I was just thinking, out of the 1,000 children that were there last night, she noticed that these two were not there. And how do you become a person that with a heart so big that out of so many, I mean, I guess there's several other people like that do that also in this room, but out of all the faces that you could be, how do you become that person where, you know, it's just instant. It's not, you're not even trying. It's like this effortless love that flows through her. So.
Can I we do want to give you the mic, but just one last story because it's on here. So the day we met her. I mean, this is really telling, right? The day we met her, what you see in there is a child. Sister Lucy was going in the car, and she noticed that somebody was on the streets naked and out of her wits. And so Sister Lucy says to the driver, stop. And she gets out the car, and she takes a shawl that she has and puts the shawl on the woman. And they found out that she was badly abused. And she couldn't. She was in such a state of trauma that she couldn't speak. They brought her home. It turned out she was pregnant. She delivered a child, and she couldn't even breastfeed, and she was not fully there. But Sister Lucy adopted her. And because we were coming, she named her after Swara. And so this is baby Swara. I think I have a 10-second video, maybe. Can you, Antu, can you press the next? No? Maybe not. Okay, well, that's good, too. Yeah, that's fine. I have a little video from that day, but it was very touching to see this woman who's not fully there, and yet, sister, you know, we were all just there. Baby Swara, who's now 6 years old, yeah. And very mischievous.
She's now Swara Nipun, because they had both. They were both visiting our home, and that was the day we were keeping the naming ceremony of the child. Then the mother was not able to keep, so we have to do everything. And I was thinking, what is the name of the child we can give? And when I asked the mother, she could not say anything because she's not all right. Then I said, why not? Because they both were visiting, so I kept the name Swara, and the child did not have the father's name, so I kept Nipun. So now she's called Swara Nipun, and she's 6 years old now.
So I get honorable mention. So, sister, we have been talking about... Yeah, we really aren't going to let you speak.
So, sister, really dressed up the mother, though she was insane. She dressed up like a mother, and she didn't know what is happening. But Gajira, to everything, she took care that she paid attention to the little things that mom of the child should have. It's Maharashtrians, it means a lot. So I think sister had the coconut and the leaf and everything, which I thought was too much. You know, it really touched me that one would have ignored her, but she was right there in the center. She was, and I believe she's back. She's
there,
yeah.
But she's not able to take care of the child.
Yeah, but she's getting better.
Now she's better, yeah.
Yeah, very touching. I mean, it's and then you see that there's just thousands of such stories. And you're like, what kind of a heart does it take? You know, and no exit. It's not like a project where you start and, oh, I can't wait to get to the finish. It's like it just goes and goes, like forever. So, Sister Lucy, we have been talking about karma yoga, to serve without creating residue, to serve with joy, to serve in a way that it's regenerative. You see so much every day. You have seen so much through your whole life. How can you smile? Yesterday, everyone went out on, you know, to different sections, and it even that alone for 2 hours was overwhelming in so many ways. So how do you do this work and still manage to have joy?
Yeah. I think I enjoy what I do. So that is one of the reasons that I can always be happy. Because for me, I don't look at it as work maybe. It's my mission. You know, that's what I found, that I think I should tell you a little bit about my background, then you will understand where I am now and how I am able to do. I was born and brought up in Kerala, in a very remote village. Those days when I was growing up in that particular village, we had no electricity connection. There was not even a newspaper, nor a radio, nothing. You know, it was such a village I was growing up. And then when one Catholic nun came to me and said, what are you going to do now? No school here. You come with me to Bombay and maybe we can, I will educate you there. So I jumped at the idea and I went to my mother and I said, I want to go. You know, those days, Bombay means for them it's like going to Dubai or even further. So my mother said, nothing doing. You cannot go like that. I said, no, but she's a Catholic nun. I'm brought up in a Catholic family. And we have so much faith in the nun. So my mother finally agreed. So I went with her. And you know what my idea was? I thought my little village was the entire world. I had no clue that Bombay was different. And you know, it's like a little... sufficient village for us because we have our own field. I have never seen poverty in that sense. Like all the people have. In fact, we were looked upon as rich people because we had lots of field. If we have 3 times a meal, that means we are rich in the village. So that was the thing that we were brought up. And then being born in a very, what you call, a Brahmanic caste, people always look upon you. So that was the way I was brought up. Some childhood, I don't know, somehow that feeling was there. And then when I went there to Bombay, the sisters where I was staying, the slums was very close. You know, Villapala, that time it was a full slum. And I said, why the people are staying like this? Why the people have no toilet? Why this? Why this? Everything was big question, but I couldn't understand. And those days, I was, because I'm coming from a big family, 9 children, I was missing my siblings. And then I saw Mother Teresa's home. So I was running all the time there, not because the thing, I didn't even know it was volunteering. I had no clue of that. I just wanted to play with the children because I was missing my siblings. So I would go there. And finally, when I was, I don't know, maybe when I was 17 or 18, I decided to join Mother Teresa. And my mother, I mean, we have to take a... I filled up the form, I went home to take the signature of my parents. That was that. In those days, it used to take 4 days for us to reach Kerala. You know, because that's only that Kolsa train, you know, like, and it would take 4 days to reach there. I reached there and I told my mother, see, this is what happened. And I had also seen Mother Teresa. So my mother looked at me and she... They would not sign the documents. So I could not go. Then I said, okay. Then my father started, he was very emotional. Then when I saw my father like that, I did not want my father to be sad at all because I was very fond of them. I tore the form and finished. But somewhere I think it was burning. You know, I did not know and I forgot all about it. Not forgot, I did not want to make my parents sad. Then again, I wanted to see, and finally I joined the Holy Cross. Then when I joined the Holy Cross, I told my mother there are no leprosy, because my mother understood there are leprosy patients on the Teresa. And my mother was very scared that I will get leprosy, because those days, you understand, no, leprosy, this I'm talking about 45 years ago, and so my parents would not allow me. Then I wrote to my mother, there are no leprosy patients in Holy Cross and I'm going there. Then again there was objection. Then they said, no, 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 you cannot go like that. But finally I insisted, I went and joined the Holy Cross. I was very happy. And after about, I stayed with them for 9 years and I understood, you know, the purpose of me joining was to do this type of work, which I could not do. And I told them, no, I want to do something for the poor. I want to think, but they said, no, that kind of things we don't have. And finally, you know, it so happened when I was there with them, there was a woman that approached me. Those who have heard the story, sorry, I have to tell it again. You can go to sleep, okay? So what happened is that a woman came to me asking for shelter. And because I was already doing, you know, a little bit of work here and there, and so people knew me. And a woman said, you know, Didi, I need to stay somewhere. My husband has become very violent. He's an alcoholic and he's threatening to kill me. So you please get her. You know, in the convent we have place, but you know, the rules are such, you know, it's like military rule. We could not take a woman. I could not take that woman. I sent her back. And what happened was that very night, I think when she went back, they must have had fight again. In that anger, he poured kerosene and set her on fire. She was 7 months pregnant. And so what happened was that I heard this shouting and yelling. And like any other onlooker, I also ran to see what was happening, because it happened very close to the place where I was, in just one road dividing us. So I went across, and we are not allowed those days, but I still went. Then I saw all this thing, and I picked up this woman with the help of the neighbors, and I took her to the hospital. This happened in Pune. And when I reached there, you know, doctor examined and told me, no, we can't do anything. She's 90% burned. So I asked her, doctor, no, but how about the baby? Then doctor said, no, we can't do anything. Baby, it's finished. But I insisted on, doctor, please, I want to see the baby. Doctor operated on, but what I got in my hand was a fully burned baby, or fully cooked baby, I can say. So, you know, this thing moved me so much, and you can imagine my frustration, because this is the same woman who had asked me for help, and I did not help, and then now she is finished, and I was so very, very upset about this whole thing. When I came back to the, and of course the hospital people were very helpful, and then we finished all that, we did not know what it is. That's a long story, but when I came back to the convent, my life was not the same. You know, like we have beautiful table set for the breakfast and lunch and everything, because we follow the Western culture in the convent. And when I came back, you know, like I felt like turning the table upside down. So angry I was inside, so frustrated I was. And I lived with that, and then they couldn't make out. You know, my whole, lifestyle was changing. So they sent me for counseling, because they said, you are not the same, and they sent me for counseling. For my, good luck, I can say, they sent me to a Catholic priest. He was a very beautiful person. He used to teach, though he is a Catholic priest, he has done his doctorate on Bhagavad Gita. And he was teaching Bhagavad Gita, not only in India. He used to teach in Pune University, and then after that he used to go to Germany and other places. People used to invite him. And they told him, once when during the speech, because I had told him that I want to do something for women, and he was sharing this to the people over there. And finally, to make the story short, with this help and the help of the other people, we set up our first home for women in 1997. So now we have 66 centers in 7 states of India. And in Maharashtra itself, we are in 7 districts. In Jharkhand, we are in 3 districts. And of course, other places, wherever we are started, wherever they tell me needed, or when I see a need, we immediately open. Now, 2 months back, in the month of September, I had gone to Wardha, that's in a particular districts of Maharashtra. We had gone there to open a home for women, because there was a huge need there. And on the way, I saw 5 men on the street. So I changed my mind. I said, no, we won't start here for this thing. First we will, because I picked up this man in my car, then I did not know where to put them. So I went round the whole of Wardha to search if there is any home for men. And nobody was taking this poor man. Then I said, now what shall I do? They are in my car. I can't go and put them back. So, yeah. So what I did was that I immediately went round to search for a home on rent. And one man was kind enough to give me one house. He doesn't know me. But, you know, again I said, when the universe, energy covers you, it happens. And then he said, oh, you can take my house. And I took his house. I opened a home now for men. Already we have 27 men in that home. And all are homeless people. Okay, so, and I took out my 2 senior staff from Pune. They were 19 years. The lady was, she was working with me and her husband about 10 years. And then I told them, you move to Wardha. Because they were originally from there. I said, so it will be easy for them to build the rapport with people, and they're very good people. So I told them, they told me, sister, what about our children? Take your children there, I said. So we took the children, found admission for the children and everything. And so now this couple who was from Pune, I mean, originally from Wardha, but they were working here, and they are running that home. So now that's the same way in Calcutta. Everywhere I find people, you know, when I go, somehow people come with me. The good people join me. I don't know how. So when the trustees were asking, all were new people, to the trustees. How did you manage to find him? How did you manage? I said, I don't know. You ask them. So they said, we were walking on the street, and she spoke to us, and we got melted, and we joined her. So, you know, like that. So like that, I find people to take care of the people. You know, there are such good people. Only we have to recognize that, you know, and that come what may, trust them, even if they make mistake, okay? So that's how I look at it. And then now we have opened these homes. Not only that, we have a lot of other work because, you know, my view, what you call for that, my whole dream is that how India will not have homes like Maher. Towards that, we work a lot. So that means creating awareness. We have self-help groups, more than 1,000 groups are there. And then we have kindergarten. All this, you know, to build rapport with people and create awareness in the people, how the mentally disturbed women land on the street. If all of us support this kind of cases, people will not land on the street. Why the old people land on the street? You know, because somehow we don't have enough of the capacity to deal with them, financially maybe, and also emotionally, that strength goes down after some time in the people, in taking care of the aged people. So, you know, they become cranky, they give you lots of trouble. So then in that case, I tell them, don't tell that they are giving trouble. It shows our limitedness. So how are we going to make ourselves unlimited? That is what. So every now and then, like in Maher, every month, 1 hour of meditation and prayer in every home. The 66 home we have, and we have this meditation for all the people. So that, you know, because I understood, just talking to them is not enough. Meditation was important for all of us. And then I created an atmosphere. So when I announce at 9 o'clock, they all sit for meditation on a particular day, like a Saturday or on a Sunday morning when all are having holiday. Then that particular day, they all will be on duty. And next day, I can give them leave. You know, so we adjust also the leave and the things like that for the staff. So they don't also get burned out. You know, very easily when this kind of work, when they do, they themselves can get stressed out. Now, at present in Maher, small incident took place, and the staff is all stressed out. The thing was that 6 years ago, there was a case that stepfather had raped the daughter, one of the girl. And somehow one on the organization that they were working, they found out, and this man went to jail. And this girl, she was sent to another organization. There something happened. She's 10 years old. And that organization closed. And through the one organization, this child was sent to Maher. And when the mother came, the mother was there to give the admission, take the admission for the child and everything. But the child had come because of the POSCO Act. And the social worker was there, and the mother came with the child. So when the mother came to see, it was, I think, Diwali. And you know, our social worker, because, you know, I tell them, get connected to the child's needs, okay, not only rules. But, you know, they didn't think what rule it is I'm telling them. They took all the rules as same, and when the mother came, they handed over this child to the mother. Because the mother was crying, the child was crying. The child wanted to go with the mother, and the mother wanted to take the child. our social worker didn't think it is a POSCO case. When it is a POSCO case, we cannot send the child unless we inform the police and inform the child welfare committee. And they send the child. Now the case came for hearing and the child is not with us. So there's a big case. The thing is that because I tell the social workers, why don't you see the need of the child? And the social workers saw the need of the child. And why don't you see the thing? So they really saw the need of the child and the mother. They didn't look into the rule. So now that is what they are talking about, the rules. You know, the rules are very, very strict. And we should also pay attention to that. They did not pay now up and down to the police and back. Actually, the mother is gone with her real legal mother. The child is gone. But then we are not allowed to do that. They did not inform the police. And police would not have given the permission also. So that is the thing. This kind of lots of things we go through. Because there are government rules which are very, very strict. We have to follow that. And so sometimes in following that kind of rules, we don't know what to do. Okay? Now, to make you little bit to think how our children give trouble, I'll give you one little example. I will tell them about the fish. You know, my children, they have grown up on the street. Okay? They are so used to non-veg and things. And Maher is most of the time vegetarian food. And their God must have been so fed up of me. So what they went to the riverside, and there are these fisher folks, they go for fishing in the river. So they caught some fish, and the net was there, and they must have gone second time for the fishing. Meanwhile, my children saw that they brought the whole net home. Okay. They didn't bring it home. They went to the they went inside a sugarcane field, okay, and they made fire and they cooked the fish inside the in the fire, on the fire this thing. And when they were throwing salt, the salt, on the fire jumped into one of the child's eye, and he got hurt. But thank God it is nothing serious. But anyway, child was crying. He's 11 years old. And he was crying and crying, came running out of the sugarcane field. And the social worker was searching for these children. They did not understand where they are. And one was crying. So he went down and asked, "Where are you? Why are you crying?" Then he showed hand. So through the way the child came, the social worker went there to find out what had happened. Go to see the other 8 of them are sitting and eating the roasted fish. And the live ones, there were some fish which was alive. They had kept in the water, in the bucket, for the next day. And the rest they ate. And then, so the social worker brought the bucket and he videoed the whole thing. And because I tell them, love the children. No? So don't do anything. Love the children. So now he told me, now you love them, he said. And they kept the fish. I said, oh my God. I said, I was feeling so sad what they did. Anyway, I was a little bit, I was strict to them and all that. Then afterwards, I called the social worker. I said, no, this is not the way to deal. They are, don't worry about that. We will see what has to be done. And they said, sister, what are you teaching them to rob again? I said, no, we're not robbing again. So I told the storekeeper, because these fisher folk, we have been helping them. They are very, very poor people. There are about 40 families. They are staying in one village and really very poor people. So I told the social worker and the storekeeper, please make food grain kit. Because now children ate all that fish because they would have sold that, and with that they would have brought the food grain for the week or for the day or whatever it was. And now they finished. I said, what to do with them? So I told this social worker, I said, go down. And this thing, I put all the ration kit in the jeep. Unfortunately, I didn't bring the same, but maybe next visit I can show. So then I put all these children in the jeep. And I said, now go, because you all ate up the whole food grain, what they would have brought with that money. You deprived them. We cannot do that, I said. So what happened? They understood. I suppose they will understand. That was the mistake. What they, instead of giving them punishment, and what punishment they will understand. They ate the fish, they enjoyed, now what punishment? So, so now the only thing is to, you know, look after those people, I said, go and give them. So then they went into the jeep. They were very happy to get into the jeep and get out of this organization and do something. They are like, they are children now. So then they are telling me, I said, how do you feel now? What you all did? And all the, when I came back, they are saying they didn't even have food for the evening. Then I said, you understood now what you are missing? Never again we will take Didi. Okay, we will not go. Okay. They did not rob, but you know, yesterday what they did, we are having national level meeting, okay? All the heads of the, what you call, our project people had come to Maher and we are having meeting. And in between, they told me, one of the staff came from there and told me, I have to go immediately to the school, teachers are calling. I said, what happened? I don't know, some children must have done something. I said, go. So he went, okay? And then he brings 8 of the children, wet as ever, and they are standing like wet comedies, you know, like wet hand. I said, what happened? Then he told me, you come down. So I went down, and I asked, what happened? They're telling me, you know what happened? From the school, they kept the school bag there, and they went to swim. Now I told them not to take the fish of somebody, so they tried to go to fish. And one of them, no, really. And one of them was nearly drowned, and the village person saved and took, because village person did not know these are Maher children, so he took the children to the school. And when the school teacher asked, from where did you all do, what did you all do, then they confessed that they had gone for fishing. And this is what happened. Oh my God, I said, what shall I do with them? And then, okay, when I finished, then I told the staff, I said, see, the whole thing is they must be longing to eat some fish. Take them to the hotel, buy fish, give them. I said, afterwards I will see. Then they told me, Didi, this is what kind of punishment? Because now everybody will go to do this. I said, no. I will deal with it later, I said, because... you know, the other 100 staff is in front of me. I can't do with this. I said, now you give them the fish and later on I will see. Then the staff made them to write what all they did. They had taken the uniform and they kept it in the school bag. They went with the home clothes inside and uniform on the top of that, because staff was for the meeting now. So they did what they wanted. Then they went to the school and they did this. And then imagine... thank God, if that child has to get drowned, tomorrow the CWC would have said, where were you? They won't accept that I'm having meeting and all these kind of things, no? So anyway, but when the divine grace is working, no, it works very well. So it did not work in a negative way, it worked on a positive. Then I told the children, go eat fish in the hotel and come back. So, because they didn't get fish anyway, they worked so hard. So... then yesterday evening I caught them before coming, okay? Then I brought them. I said, how did you all do that and this thing? Did you all understand? Didi, actually, we did not mean. We only meant from the school, the teacher, no? They are blaming the teacher now, and the teacher has beaten them, I believe. I said, teacher beat you for what? Because he must have not done your homework or another. And that child asked the teacher, what she said, are you feeding me to beat me? This is the question. So teacher got angry, so he gave one more. Okay? So, because he asked this kind of question. Then I asked him, how did you think? She is telling me that teacher doesn't know he can go to jail. And I said, what about you? Where should I put you? No, you only brought me from remand home, no? He is telling me, because he knows if he does something, he will go to remand home. And he is telling me, I brought him from remand home, which is true. Okay. Okay, so you know what happened? By the time, you know, you deal with this one case. It took me 3 hours to deal with them. And, you know, energy goes with this kind of children. But the problem is, we laugh. But, you know, that time I was not laughing with them. I was serious. Then afterwards they are telling me, because I was also crying, I did not know what to do. They are telling me, Didi, why you are this thing? We were about to drown, but did not get drowned. So this kind of things they tell you, you know. So you don't know what to laugh at them or to get angry with them. So I said, okay. So, you know, like this kind of, we have almost 1,004 children with me. Women, we have nearly over, six, I think now it's about 700 women are there, men are there. So nearly more than 2,000 people overall are staying with us. So every house, we will get a phone call in the morning, this has happened, that has happened. Because many of these women who are mentally disturbed have also suicidal tendencies. You know, we cannot even use a sari and wash and put there because they can take that sari and hang themselves. You know, all kinds of things are there. So we have to be very careful what clothes we are giving them to wear. And, you know, things like that. Lots of them. Then there are also women, the need of homosexuality and things like that. So everywhere, you know, our eyes has to roll all the time with the women, with the children, and also with men. And now the men, what happens is that we have opened the 7 homes for men. And many of them, they landed on the street because of the alcohol. Then they are mentally disturbed, you know. But the longing for the alcohol is there. So they break everything. They kick you, you know. They are not able to. Most of them are good. You know, majority of them are good. But they will be in every home, like 2-3 of them, you know, rather violent because they want drink, they want women, they want this. And so, you know, things goes on. So that's why also many of the people who open these homes, they find it very difficult to continue because they challenge you. You know, this kind of challenges will come, you know, when we are running a home. One thing is to find money to keep the house going. Plus, seeing to all this, there are a lot of challenges. But what happened from my experience, you know, so when we are really connected, I don't know what I can call it, connected to the divine energy and connected to the people, naturally they will give you energy back. It's not nothing great, you know, like what we are doing. It's the people who keeps blessing you. And that's where we get that. That's when you are asking. I don't know the real language to use, but what I feel we are getting back from the people. We are getting that from the children. Because they make you smile at the end of the day, because with all these kind of stupid things they come with, and we can only smile. What can we do with them? Okay? Little Swara, you don't know what yesterday she did. They brought her to me because Swara was supposed to answer the exam. Okay? And she's in the upper KG, and the teacher had given her one question paper, and she did, and I think she must have found it so boring, she tore that paper, question paper. And not only tore it, she made a bundle, and teacher loves her very much. And then there was a call, Sister Lucy, Swara has not answered the paper, and I think she may have to fail this year. Huh? I said, she's a very clever child. So I said, what happened? Then the teacher told me all this. So I said, now what shall I do? She said, don't worry, I'll take her the second, when all the children are gone, I will give her re-exam, I'll make her write because she's okay. So I went and I asked, so they brought Swara to me. And I was in the office, I'm getting ready now to come to Ahmedabad. And Swara is there. I said, Swara, what happened? You know, in Marathi, she's saying, you know, means it was so boring. That's what she told me. So then I said, but why, you can't tear the paper. Now you have... So she thought she can remain in the same class because if that she tear the paper, she can remain in the same class. And I said, all your friends will go. Only then she understood. Then I said, all your friends will go to the other class. You are not going to be with your friends. Then she understood. Then she started. And I said, no, don't worry. So I hugged her and I gave her one chocolate. And so then the staff told me, finished. Now the lad, no, she will do the again because you did this. I said, no. Sora, you are not going to do no that again. No, Didi, I will do it, she said. Maybe she will do. I don't know whether she'll do. But you know, like every day we have good, very many good stories coming. Like earlier children, now they are coming. We also get. The thing is that we had too many to listen, and you will maybe having little more time with your children. So I long to get that time for the children, but I don't have that much time because, you know, I have to fly to so many houses and see. But I go there, you know, just to see what they are doing, how they are doing. And do it in a different way. What you said is correct, that to make space. You know, according to the government rule, if you have this much space, you can only keep 20 children. Okay. And there is a need there. So what I do is, I take the children when the government people come. They will count and go 20, you know. But there are 25 there. So they are gone to the other house. Children also understand now the government people are come, judges are come. Every time the judges come. So then the judges are come and they come and stay in my office. Because they also know their names are not there. So, you know, it's as much, 99% I try everything to keep as per the government rule. But sometimes there are like, you know, need, like urgent need is come. So we just take the child. And we are not allowed to keep the children underage. Like underage means below 6. Now this Swara is born with us. And if government, as per the government rule, the child has to go to another place. You understand, no? So I don't know, those who are dealing with the, you all will know, those who are working with the government FOSPA Act rule, or children's rule, what is that called? What is that called? Rights of the children? What is that called? Amendment, no? So you will know that. We are not supposed to keep the... But the mother is not well. Mother is there. If the mother is not there, then I hand over the child. But if the mother is there, many of the children are born with us. They were found pregnant. They were... either they were... You know, for some reason they landed on the street and they were raped, or because they got raped, they became mad. So there are different type of cases that are there. And these children are born with us, and then we look after them. And once they are big enough, they understand their mother is not well. At least they know who is their mother is. Otherwise, when we give the children in adoption, neither they know anybody. So there is no connectivity, you know. So when I go abroad, and I have seen, you know, thousands of children I meet, Indian children who are given in adoption to abroad, you know, and the pain that they have, because they have a different color and then the things that they go through. Okay, so seeing all that, no, I don't like that kind of thing. And of course, I am for adoption if there is nobody, but mostly in India. But many of the children in India also, when they are very badly ill-treated, some other parents are very good, but other times they are not okay. So then, you know, I can see that pain also, because many of the children, those who have been adopted, they run away and they come to know about Maher and they come to our house. There are many of the children like that. So I have seen all this. So because of that, no, I don't like it. But then if the mother is there, right? If the mother is not there, then of course we are not allowed to keep. If the mother is there, because we have license for both. We have for mother and child. So we keep the mother and child program in that. We show it to the admission and we there like that. So there are lots and lots of work that is going on. I know I have taken very long.
Well, earlier today we were talking about purity and practicality. Like at what point, you know, there is practical things and then there is principle. I remember you telling a story of corruption, right? Yeah. Like giving a bribe. You have, well, that's one of your principles to never do this.
Till today, I have never done.
So
we could have got out of this police case if we have to give the police some money and hush it up. But I did not want to do that. I said, If there is a mistake, we will acknowledge it and we have to go through whatever is done, but we will not give 1 rupee to anyone. Today we have not done.
Can you tell that story where they shut down electricity and water and then they came and you asked them?
No. Actually, what happened was that, as I told you, in Vadu, in the village where we were working, we did not have electricity. So we asked for the new connection, and the electricity fellows, they came, they checked, and they said we were only having this lantern, okay? So then I told them, see how difficult it is, so please give us the connection and all that. And he went round, and then he came back, and he didn't tell me directly. He told the social worker that, tell your didi this much money to give, and then we will give the connection. So the social worker came and told me in my ear what he has told. I said, okay. So, I said, come inside. So, till then, he had not seen the children. So, I brought him and I showed him, this is the thing. I said, he was asking about, I think, 40,000 or something. Then I said, I have to throw so many children out on the street for that much money. So, you choose which child should I throw, I said. So, when I said that, he looked at me and he just walked off. And then after 2 days, we had the electricity connection. So, that's kind of lots and lots of things I can keep on. I can keep you all here for this thing, but I know that there's time limit.
If anyone has any questions, feel free to raise your hand. Sister Lucy, I wanted to reflect a little bit on your philosophy of love. I remember one time I was there and you had shared this story of how this kid had come back with his first paycheck and he was telling the story. Remember, you had met him on the train station, and can you share that story? I think it relates to what we were talking about.
You are talking about Rajesh, that army man that okay. We had a boy called Rajesh, and he was rejected from many of the homes because he's a very troublesome boy. And finally, they sent this child to Maher. And he was in the 12th standard at that time. When he came back from the college, he opened the refrigerator and he found there was a big cake there. Somebody had brought that cake for all the children. At that age, you can eat the whole cake, okay? So he took that cake, he cut half, and he ate. So when the cook came, the cook said, Rajat, how you do this? It is for all the children. So they must have had some words. So he gave one slap to a 40-year-old staff. On his face, he gave. So before that also, they were all telling me, Didi, this boy is so troublesome, things like that. So they told me, now finally it is enough. Either you choose us or you choose Rajesh. Your choice is yours, Didi. We are going. Okay. So I took the flight. I went to Cochin. This happened in Kerala project. So I went to Cochin and I was... the boy had gone to the college and they told that Didi is coming. You pack your things and keep, because they thought I will take the boy with me to Pune or do something. That's what the staff thought. So then I explained everything to the staff, what was happening to him. After all, it's only a cake. And it is just one slap. It did not, the pain is not there now. Then I said, why are you living with that pain even now? It is the ego that is making us feel. And things went on, okay? I spoke long time and made him very emotional. Then I had an hour of prayer, meditation with everything. And prepared the ground, okay? So when now Rajesh has come, he saw my car there, and that means he understood. Normally the car would be in the garage, it was out, that means Didi has come. So when he saw from far, he was putting his head down and he was walking. So I went there and I hugged him, okay? And I said, why your head is down? Then he was crying. I said, see, you did a mistake, but you should have said sorry. Instead of that, then he's telling me, I said sorry. You know how he said sorry? which staff is going to take that kind of story, you know? Then I said, see, Rajesh, this is what happened to you. You should not have done that, and things like that. I made him to understand, and I said, I love you so much. And then I hugged him. So when he started crying, because he, after all he did this, no, they were trying all the level to make him listen, but he would not. That's why they say. So when he was crying, the staff came out one by one. They also was feeling bad. Then they all hugged him and they said, we love you, Rajit, don't get worried. And then things like that. So now, then he stayed on. Okay, and I told him, don't give trouble. We all love you. And things like that. And he stayed on. Finally, to make the story short, he finally joined the army. Wow. Okay, he's now in the army. And when he had when he received his first payment, he came to Maher Pune, because we were having a meeting at that time at the national level, and the staff was there. And he came back and he told me, Didi, I want just 2 minutes to talk to every staff. I said, sure, I said. Then he said, Didi, on that day, if you had not forgiven me and given me an opportunity, what I had decided that he wanted to join some mafia group, okay, and then shoot the staff and things like that. You know, many things worked in his mind. And he said, that particular incident turned me entirely. And today what I am is because of that, he said. And he told all the staff, I know the children will make you, there will be 1,000 children like that, like me, but we don't mean to hurt you. You know, it's just our problem. But you all don't know, you don't know what we go through and things like that. He explained to the staff. And it was such an emotional moment. And then he handed over that check to me and said, you keep this for my other brothers. So, yeah, so many stories are there. No, because for this house now nearly 26 years, so you can imagine. Yeah.
Yeah. Any questions? Yeah.
Thank you so much, sister, for sharing this wonderful stories. In many stories, you mentioned that, you know, the person who made a mistake, you don't know whether he or she is going to repeat the mistake or not, but you kind of thought that probably he or she may not be. Where does the strength come from to, you know, put so much faith in the person and give one another chance?
Yeah. I think even with the staff, no? Forgiveness comes automatically to me. Sometimes my senior staff, they really get frustrated with my forgiveness. And even now when we having the meeting, you know, this, I told you there were 125 staff, no? They were all coming from, some mistakes they make, you know, and I had forgiven them. And one of the senior staff, you know, Hira, no? She said, enough is enough of your forgiveness. You know, she said. We need to straighten up these people, she said. Then I didn't say anything. And there was one of the board member also there. And the board member said, okay, leave Sister Lucy alone. Now when you all make a mistake, she is not going to deal. We both will deal. Because you all cannot do this. I just smiled. And immediately Hira said, sir, this is not going to work, because the staff will go from behind that side and they will go to Didi and said sorry, and that she'll get melted, and then that is enough. You know, I don't get melted, but I'll just look at them as, they made mistake, you know. They're not doing it on purpose. They raise the hand. I am not at all to beat the children, at all. But, you know, situation is in such a way, if they robbed the fish and brought, so they are not going to hug the children. They must have given them too. So, or, you know, some things like that, you know. Or, now, what they did, you know, they are street children. They know how to behave, how to get out of things, you know. So what happened? We locked the terrace. They put a big lock for the terrace and they kept it. And you know what they did? The children were having a bath. They get a plate. Now they know 8 o'clock they have to come for breakfast. Otherwise the house mothers won't serve them a breakfast. So till I told them from 8 to 8:30, you can wait. After that, no. After that, you can close the kitchen. So they knew that they will not get the breakfast. So 5 of them got together. You know, now the terrace and other bathrooms are all full. So what they did, they cut open the door. They made a hole and they went inside on the terrace. You know, on the solar, we give the connection to the water. They pulled out that and they had bath. And while doing that, they broke the tubes, you know, that they are very expensive. They broke the tube, but they had bath. They here came and sat there for breakfast. So the staff were wondering, how did they finish so fast? They did not know that they went on the terrace because he is so sure that he had locked the gate at the terrace. But when he went, there's such a big hole for the door. And then I asked them, how did you all manage? Didi, we didn't cut so much. We only cut this much and then we pushed it. And then no, then that broke. We can break it. They are showing me how to break that door. So then they managed to get inside and they had bath there and they came back. So at that time, naturally, the staff must have lost the head, no? Must have given them. So then they told me, the staff is not like you. They do all kinds of things, then they're telling me not like them. So what to do, you know? And they teach you also because, you know, they have, there's many of the children, they parents are gone to jail because they were robbers. And so they had taken these children to rob, no? So they tell me, you know, sometime we lost the key and they tell me, Didi, it's not like that. Turn the cupboard and then, no, there it is very patla. We can open that, you know, it is all screwed. They teach me everything. They, you know, because they are so well-versed, they know how to take out, they know how to, if a cycle is locked, they know how to open it. If the car is, we lost the car key, they know how to do it. My children are so expert in everything. I didn't even know all this. So many things I learned from them. So, yeah. Because they're street children. No? They know too. It's very interesting. So what happened is that the energy goes down. But again, what I said to myself, I said, see, children's mistakes, you know, you take it as a joke. Don't take it as, at that time, not in front of them, but I said, you take it as a joke, then you won't get burned out. You take it as so seriously, that is why we become burned out. Don't become like that. Then you have no energy for the next day. You are losing a smile. And,
That's great. Go ahead. I think, can you give her the mic?
आपने ये जो बातें बताई बहुत सहजता से बताई लेकिन काफी इंटेंस है ये इट्स रियली डिफिकल्ट टू यू नो जब आप उसको फेस करते होंगे तो मैं ये जानना चाहूंगी कि क्योंकि आप इतने सारे होम्स चला रहे हैं तो आपका जो भी स्टाफ होगा या आपके जो भी सहकर्मी होंगे तो व्हाट आर द कलेक्टिव प्रैक्टिसेस टू कीप एवरीवन ऑन द सेम पेज क्योंकि बहुत डिफिकल्ट है ये नो आप तो कर लेते हो लेकिन सबके साथ रहकर ये करना
सो हर क्वेश्चन इज यू आर सेइंग यू आर शेयरिंग दीज स्टोरीज सो एफर्टलेसली बट दीज आर इंटेंस सिचुएशंस एंड इट्स वन थिंग दैट इट्स क्लियर दैट यू कैन डू दिस बट हाउ डू यू डू इट कलेक्टिवली विथ विथ द स्टाफ दैट परहैप्स डजंट हैव दैट सेम level of love or forgiveness.
What you are saying is very true. The staff gets stressed out. Sometimes the staff who are looking at the boys, especially the male staff, they leave the job. Okay. So, but before they're taking up the job, we teach them and we tell them, see, we are with you. Don't get worried. If at all anything is happening, inform us. We will deal with it. Okay? So sometimes you will see, suddenly I was here, next day I am in Andhra. It's because there is a serious problem there, and so that's why. And then we sit together and strive what to do with them. But till today, because child had made a mistake, we have never sent away a child. We have to know, like whatever problem is, that we have to know how to deal with that child. Okay, so I find out what is the interest of that child. Then put it accordingly and things like that. We, you know, lots and lots of ways of dealing with this thing. And one practice that we have is with the children and with us also, every day we have meditation. Like 15 minutes meditation in the morning, 15 minutes in the evening before they go to school. And in fact, as soon as we get up. And also yoga, things like that, that also helps us a lot. And also the staff. And then, of course, if it is beyond them to deal with, they can always phone me. Either I send a senior staff from here in the other places, or I myself, I will go to deal with it. And I tell them, if it is really, really bad, then we will see what has to be done. But so far, we were able to, I mean, we didn't have to send away a child. Yeah. Because we have, you know, some children are also, after they grew up, we understood, they are, transgender children. So now they are dressing like a male body, but they are dressing like a female. So now where to put them to sleep? Because the boys said, with this kind of clothes, we don't want them. Girls said, see, they are with a female body, male body, we don't want them. So then what? So, you know, there are lots of challenges we face when there are transgender children with us. I don't know what we call them, transgender, you know? Yeah, transgender children with us. When they are babies, we cannot make out. Once when they grow up, they don't want to, supposing if they are girls, they don't want to dress like a girl. They want to, automatically they will dress like boy. They are wearing jeans, they cut their hair. Even if I tell them, grow your hair, they don't want. So then now I don't force them. I have understood forcing is useless. It is. I understood that they are. In the beginning, you know, I was also learning. I too did not understand. I made a lot of mistake. So one child really got out because she was all the time dressing like boy, and she only wanted to ride motorbikes and things like that. So I was thinking, what is wrong with her? You know, like, I didn't understand that she was a different gender. So later on I understood. I was feeling so sad. And she went away from us. And because I did not want to see her going with an begging community. Then finally I called her back. Then I gave her another job in another place. Yeah. And some of them are still working with us.
You know, one thing she mentioned is that they, in these 20, 30 years, they've never sent a child back. That takes like one breath to say, but that takes a lot of inner transformation. any questions? Yeah, one second.
I don't have any question, but I got an answer to my morning's questions. How can we cultivate more joy in service?
What so, is the answer?
So answer...
Like Sister Lucy.
Yes.
Have your most senior most staff. Hira has been there for how long?
This sir.
Hira has been with Maher for a long time, right?
This boy...
Hira. Your.
Ah, Hira, yes.
25 years. The person with her for 25 years is saying, I've had enough of your forgiveness.
But really, I got to answer. I will try to be like that. And thanks for that.
Yeah. It, I mean, once you see it, you cannot unsee it. Because you're like, man, there is at least one person on the planet that is able to do this day in and day out. I mean, for her to even come to like a retreat like this itself, you know, she has like 1,000 things to do, and you know, it's just, I think, for our benefit, and I think it gives us hope that yes, there is this love.
Oh, I enjoy being there.
Yeah, Rohit.
I just wanted to add a little bit on that question of staff, because I think that was a question that how do you instill the same values in the staff also, right? And, you know, a related aspect of that is that, you know, I have been to the Ranchi Maher homes, and I met sister there once, a few times. And once, you know, we were sitting and talking, and she was giving me just like some updates of the staff there. So she was telling that, you know, there's one person there who sister has not been happy with her performance for last 10 years. Okay. Like, every time I come in a couple of months, I tell her that this is such a simple skill, which is like basic of your job description, and you don't have that. And you, why don't you pick that up skill? And that cycle has been going on for 10 years. She's like, you know, I want to fire her, but I'm incapable of firing her. So I think what that taught me, it was such a powerful moment that, you know, it is easy to sort of, you know, say, I think we talk about like, you know, strategic, you know, living off your values, that this is my target market, you know, children are my target market. I want to be extremely compassionate to one person or this group of people, and let's all be very kind to children, versus like, you know, love and compassion as a value that, you know, I am going to be equally kind and forgiving to my staff as well. And that, I think, is like really, I think somewhere we were talking, it's not an on and off switch, right? That you can pick and choose, hey, five of you, like, you know, I'm going to be extremely kind here and like unkind here. And I think that sister is like such a living embodiment on how, like, you know, you meet every person with that same kind of love and forgiveness. And that is like the, how you cultivate that kind of love in your heart. And, you know, I can imagine that from a leader's lens, it is not easy. I think we were again talking purity and practicality in so many edges, like individual flow and collective flow, that it could be so easy and so efficient for the organization, right? Just to get rid of a staff and, like, you know, install another person. But there's something, I don't know what algorithm it is, but it is saying, though, I want to, like, you know, play a more infinite game. I want to, like, continue. So I don't know if, you know, sister, how do you, like, you know, see your relationship also to your staff in terms of treating them with the same care and love?
Or if I can expand that question, because I think she shared a little bit earlier, but to build on Rohit's point, that, you know, there is a personal calling and then there is a divine flow in your language. And you have, if the individual calling is aligned with the divine flow, all kinds of things happen. So can you share a little bit about how you can align both of these things? Because in many instances, I know your life was saved by children, right? One time, these guys came to tear the whole place down and they came to actually just kill her. And maybe you can share that story, but and then after that, also just share a little bit about how can we align the personal, not just with each other, but with the divine. So I'm expanding that to not just each other, but even larger flow, because sister has insight into that, which is not a common insight in general. So you remember that story?
Yes. Really, I don't know how to explain. But, you know, the thing is, I just love my staff, okay? So it's so difficult to just to tell them, get out. You know, maybe they are not good in loving the children, but they may be good with all the guests that are coming. So, you know, I try to see in every staff what is their strength, okay? And I put it according to that, because we have so many type of work now. So and then I said, okay, you are not good in it, then now don't deal with that kind of thing. You do this. So this is the way I try to, to make them happy and keep them happy also. And I noticed also, like in my 25 years, now this is 26th year, February will complete 26 years for the running of the home. Before that, I was doing some other work. So, you know, only three staff I had to send away. And all three staff were not, they would have gone under POSCO Act. Because they were told no male staff should be dealing with the girls, okay? And I found that one of the staff was not so, you know, in talking, you know, too close. Then I said, no, you cannot be here. And I had given him three warning, and I still found him that he was not okay. Then I had to send him away. And another person took one of the girl child on his bike. It was not allowed. And I saw it and I said, no, you have to move out from here. Because it can come under POSCO Act later on. So because of that, these three other staff I had to send away. And because of the this, normally I don't send away. Okay, I send them, even this staff, I send them to another home where there are no girls. You know, that way I do. But this was not so very good. Then I said, no, I don't want to get into this kind of thing. Otherwise, like in this kind of, so many staff we had, okay? We don't have to think. My whole thing is that, you know, like, you know, look into the eyes of that staff and see where is she operating from? What is happening to her? Why she is not able to this thing? Then gently guide her, you know, this is what is happening. You are not able to do this because of this. Can we look into yourself in that sense? So I guide them a lot. And I see the staff when they came and now what they are doing. You know, now, to tell you, even if I'm not there, things will run very beautifully. Because they have picked up. You know, they picked up the some of the things. Though Hira says like that, but at the end of the day, she'll come and tell me, Didi, let it go. You know, that give her one more chance. You know, things like that. So, you know, though she says it publicly like that, and frighten the staff, things like that, but after some time, in the evening, she'll come, chodudu, unko. You know, like that. So there is, and I think this comes only when we are that real, I don't know whether it is real connectivity or what it is. Sometimes, I'm not able to say, but I know that I do that. I'm just happy with my staff, with all of them. I love them. And I love my children. So it's so easy, you know, when we are, there is so much of love there. It's nice to operate on that. It's not that when you have to see me on the in the field really on a day, then you will know what my color is. You don't know. I really scream at them. Not the children, but with the staff. I said, you all don't see? What is here? It's a button or some eyes. Really, can't you see that? No, something I ask like that. There are many, many things that I shout at them. And then they will say, Didi, we did not notice. You know, sometimes they pass by, they had not seen the woman on the street. And I pick up. I said, my dear, then they're telling me, Didi, we passed on the same road, but we did not see. They don't see it, really they don't see. And you know one thing they're telling me, sometimes like in the office it's not simple thing, not tidy or something like that. They're telling me, Didi, we don't see what you see. That's a big problem. I know, sometimes I tell them, I don't understand. That woman was on the street and you passed by like any other vehicle and thousands of vehicles passed by and you also passed by and you didn't see that woman on the street. And 2 minutes before me, they are there. I can see the vehicle, but nobody looked out. And I saw it and I picked up. And then they are telling me, Hare, how did you see that? I didn't see. Nobody saw. There were eight of them in the jeep. And they are not seen. So, you know, it happens like that. I don't blame them. I think maybe, you know, my eyes are so sensitive. I see things and they don't see it. But now they are seeing.
What about divine flow?
How I can say that? Yeah, there is a really direct kind of a flow I feel. You know, if we are aware of it, no? Many of you must be having that, no? That experience.
Maybe.
I don't know. Otherwise, you would not be here, I feel.
You must be experiencing that joy, you know, just saying. Yeah, it is, that's what I'm experiencing. Okay, so I don't know how you explain to that, but you know, I enjoy, and you know, sometimes when I feel, oh, now I'm, so I just say, where are you now? No, I'm talking to the energy. We call it energy. Of course, yeah, in the Christian terms, we would have called, where are you, Jesus? Okay, but now I've changed my whole language about all that, and I said, oh, where are you? Come into me. Things like that, or walk before me, and I'm going for a problem, dealing with a problem, or police station, or something like that. So, you know, I already talk to the divine energy, you go before me, and clear the way. You know, then I see many things so clear. You know, and the things that I thought going to be very difficult, you see, just flown very, none. And even if it is difficult, I also see that there was strength to bear up all the insults. So that kind of thing, you know, that sometimes they are not okay. These officers, they don't understand. Of course, they have to keep the rules of the country and things like that. And we are going the other way. They cannot create one rule for Maher and another rule for all other people, no. So I'm doing things, and so naturally they'll shout at me, Sister Lucy, Nana. But, you know, they are very nice people. After some time, they also understand what I am doing. Otherwise, they would have shut me down 25 years ago. They didn't shut me down. They also know that I am doing the right thing. Maybe not according to their ways. No? So it's find it difficult for them also. Sometimes they tell me, you are making so difficult for us. What to do with you? They ask me straight. What to do with you? Nothing. So, you know what happened? The mentally disturbed women, we have a home for 60. And I have kept 120. Under the bed, everywhere they are sleeping. I said, they were sleeping in the rain, so I picked them up. So, where to put them? So, you give me place otherwise. You give me a house. So, that they are not giving. And then they are telling me, okay, I said, you pick up and put them back. You come. So, then they don't say anything. Then they close their eyes and they go. So thinner things like that, these are the mistakes I'm talking about. Only for taking extra people, not following that kind of rules, I'm saying. Because when police bring the pigs, and I can't say no place. In the night they are bringing one woman, and I'm saying no place. How to say that? So I just take them in.
Yeah, we have a question. Oh, we have two. Okay. What happens when your inner voice conflicts with the divine voice? Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah, it happens. there are sometimes, something is telling me, you know, but I finally, what I notice, you know, there are these conflicts all the time within me, okay? But finally, what I feel, you know, somehow the divine energy leads me to do the right thing. You know, that's what I feel. When we are that type of... I don't know whether if you are aware, I also go in for Vipassana meditation. I've been many times. And not only that, in my daily practice also I practice. So it allows me to remain very calm when the problems comes up. Okay? And then also what I feel is, when we are all the time, that particular word, I like it very much. That last one, now I can't read it. Can you read that last one?
When we help, we see life as weak. When we fix, we see life as broken. When we serve, we see life as whole.
Yeah, when we serve, we see life as whole. So these are the things that, motivates me. When we serve people, you know, we get that energy to do the right thing. Because I also believe, you know, when we have to go and give bath to, you know, a body, when we touch that body and give bath, I find it also like, you know, some kind of energy we are getting with that. Because one social worker phoned me from Wardha, and he said his body was, he picked up one man, and his body was full of body lice, full. So, you know, he said it was beyond me to touch Didi, and it was because itana juhata bolna mat, he said, like that. And then he phoned up to the doctor and asked what to put, and the doctor gave name of a lotion, what to put on his body. And he said, don't take him inside because it will spread in the house. So keep him outside in the sun, put all this thing. So he's saying he did that. And he's not able to have bath on his own. So he said he has to have 5 buckets of water to scrub him because he was so dirty and full of a thing. And then he said, you know, Didi, I was all the time thinking of you when I was doing this. And then he's saying, when I was thinking of you and giving him bath, I was getting the energy. Because I was getting tired because he was alone, because his wife was here with us. And so he was alone to do that. Then he said, when I had to cut the hair, because his hair was grown so big, because so many years he must be on the street, no? So he said the hair was so tight, he could not cut the hair because it's all knotted. And then he said, when I was doing that, I was calling out to your energy to come to me. I couldn't understand what that kind of... But anyway, I said, no, not my energy. You call out to the divine energy. He's saying, I have not seen the divine. I only saw you. So I was calling out to your energy, he's saying. And then I got the energy, he's saying, to do it. So there are staff who talks to me like that.
It's beautiful. Thank you.
I just wanted to remind you, Sister Lucy, that beautiful pendant that you wear. Post-lunch, we were talking about it, and you said that you will share something around that also, if you still...
Sorry. I don't know. You all have noticed this. I can pass it around this thing. So it's all to do with all religion. You know, when you know that I'm a Catholic nun, and when I wanted to do it, this type of work, I just wanted to do for people, not as a Christian or a nun or anything like that, you know. So that's why it was also difficult for me to get the permission to remove my dress and to go in this kind of, because I wanted to be as Indian lady to Indian people, okay. So naturally there was a lot of hue and cry from the church side and also from my family. Because they said, well, people will think that you have left the church and things like that. Then, you know, I had to have a meeting with my mother, father, my whole relatives. I called for a meeting. I explained to them. Then I called my entire cousins and everybody. Then I explained. You know, it was not an easy thing to think. And then, and I said, I'm moving on to this type of faith. There was so much of hue and cry. You know, because for them they thought, I left the church. For me, it is nothing to leave the church or to this thing. It's just that to embrace everybody. You know, that was my way of thing. So I was looking at what I could wear it, you know, because I removed the cross. Okay, and I did not want to put a cross and show that everybody that I was a Christian and go about. I just wanted to be for the people. So I made a special kind of an emblem, which you will see, we call it the Maher peace tag. So that is the one I'm wearing, which I like it very much. Now my church almost accepted me because so much of recognition was given to me by Pope. And I was there with this Pope twice because both the times I was invited by him. So that was a very nice thing because there was an interfaith conference and he told, called Sister Lucy. So that was one of the very positive aspect, and I went there. So naturally the church has to accept me. You know, I don't know whether you're aware, the church was not helping me financially because I had began, for the people like this, you know. So the other side, the Hindus thought that I was a Christian and I'm come for conversion. Okay, so I was rejected there, I was rejected here. So I had to find my path, you know, to this thing. That's where, that was the reason that they came to kill me, and there was a lot of threat on my life. Okay, but it was not in an easy life that I had chosen because my name is so much Christian. Okay, so naturally people thought I'm conveyed there for conversion and things like that. So lot of misunderstanding, and slowly it worked out. But even now people keep an eye on me, thinking that I'm still, because they don't know the conviction inside. No, they are not able to see that. So that conviction they will be able to see when if they move out from that, because they have made boundaries for themselves. No, so that's why they are not able to move out and look something there is beautiful. So you know why? You know the all this religion makes so much of boundaries. No, and then because of the boundaries. And we feel so secure inside that boundary. The minute we open that boundary, we are so insecure. I don't understand why. But if we are really connected to the divine, then we are not wanting all this religion to secure us. Okay, so we can go beyond that and it will be so beautiful.
We'll do one last question, but on this interfaith, maybe Chirag has a question. On this interfaith point, there were a bunch of people that came to tear down a whole place. And he says, how many, so it's an interfaith place where they have different, you know, all the children celebrate all faiths. And even Hira is Muslim, the person who is the president. Yeah. And so they ask the kids, you know, how many Christians here? And everyone raises their hand. They're like, how many Muslims here? Everyone raises their hand. How many Hindus here? Everyone raises their hand, you know. And because they all the kids everywhere think that, and no one was there, no teachers were there. It so happened at that time. And so I think this is just who Sister Lucy is.
Itne sare organizations aap kar rahe hain, kal ka pata nahi kaise paisa aayega, to kaise faith aata hai ki, aur kaise aapka finance ye sab manage ho jata hai, aaram se aap ek naye vyakti ko le lete hain, to ye kis tarah se hota hai?
He's like, you are running so much and you don't have financial security. So where are you getting the faith and how do you handle the challenges?
For this past 25 years, what I noticed, you know, in the initial stages, I suffered a lot because I started in a very interior village and people did not know. Okay, so I used to go around on the road and pick up the vegetables that are thrown out, you know, during in the evenings when they finish selling, then they throw it out. So I used to pick up all those vegetables. I used to, what you call, all the grain that are thrown out, you know, for the, sometime it is mixed up, you know, then they keep it for, like, with 1 rupee for the birds and all. So I used to bring, because I'm a good cook and I know how to do all those things. So the children also did not notice, however. So in the initial stage, I suffered a lot. But now what I noticed is that, you know, of course we have to work for money. I cannot say money will come and lie down here. I have to go and tell what is needed and this thing. But what I feel is, if our work is what you call good, the money will come in search of you. This is what I noticed. Okay? If our work is so transparent, people will see it, automatically they will send money. See now what Children's Day or something is coming up. I just sent 2-3 letters that this is my expenditure. And I don't even make an appeal. I just say this is the expenditure. And I see people sending money into the bank. You know, so many things like that. Just now at the moment, because we used to get a lot of money also from US, okay, and there was some problem there. And then the people lost faith with those people over there. And we got much less money. And there was some kind of thing. But I noticed slowly it is coming up. People will understand that, you know, and that the money is coming up. But I'm not saying money will come and just keep quiet. It's not like that. We have to write letters. We have to work on that. But money will come. This is what I feel. Yeah? You can say.
I think Nita was asking what products they make. So this is what they make. No, I don't really want to show.
When the people are thrown out, we pick them up and then we know.
It's nice.
And they're very smart. A zip on both sides. There's place for mobile. So.
Smita, man, nice work.
Production by these women. and also the young girls, because they all get some money, you know. If the girls want pocket money, they have to work on it. I don't give them any pocket money. If you work, you will get it and you can use it the way you want it. They said, you see, we want to go with our friends. I have no money. Go work there and you take the money. So they will, because after they after the college, they have so much of time. Okay, and instead of lingering around, go around and work. Then they'll say, Didi, today college, this thing, we need to give some gifts. You work and you take the money. I'm not going to give you any pocket money. And for their traveling also, I tell them, some of them, of course, because they are science students and all, we have to give them. All the others, I tell them, go to the production, work, and then you take money from there and you do what you want. They want to go for a movie, they have to work here. Then they can take that money and go. Not other ways. No, I don't give them the just like that money. No pocket money is given to them. They have to work for their pocket money. For their fees, staying, for their clothing, everything we pay. But pocket money, I don't give them. For the small ones, of course. And they are that's only once in a way. No? Like one Urus, Gaunka, feast they come. That time I give them. Then something else. That time I give them. And sometime they have to know the value of money. No? So sometime we give them some 50 rupees or something, go buy. What they can buy with that, God knows. Not. But they go around and they buy something and they come. So, that we do.
Fish. Maybe they get some fish. So, maybe to close, and I know we have Chetan Bhai, we would love to have him share a few remarks. He's also an incredible karma yogi, but... And then we're going to have an hour of silence before dinner. But Sister Lucy, in closing, when your faith is tested, how do you pray? What do you pray for? Who do you pray to? Anything that comes up for you?
My faith is tested all the time. It's not that once or twice. For something or other, you know, when I pray something, it goes the other, contrary, you know. But, you know, my innermost faith, what tells me is that now I find strength to bear up even that. If it is working contrary to what I prayed, the prayer allows you or gives you strength to bear up that. Otherwise, we can have a breakdown, you know, when all these kind of problems come. So, another thing I always teach the staff, you know, if you can smile at your problem, instead of saying there is a problem, can you smile at that problem? You know, when the police came and inquiry came and things, they're telling me, Didi, you're telling us to smile? I said, what do you want to do with that? The more fear and negativity you put, the more they will get it. So you put positivity into that problem. So when you put positivity, then they will get the positivity from us, I said. So give that positivity into the thing. Children are giving trouble, look at them as children, not as adult problem. I said, that is your problem. For them, they see fish as fish. They didn't think that they were robbing somebody's fish. They only thought of fish. They didn't think that they had worked whole night. They did not think of that. So, you know, this kind of a thing, no? Like, you don't get stressed out with that problem. That's what I feel. I don't know how you can call it. Maybe you can put all my mind together.
It's a joy and a privilege to be with someone like Sister Lucy. I mean, it's obvious. You can travel all around the world and, you know, you may not run into somebody like this. So the fact that we have, I think, is on a responsibility on our shoulders to at least, you know, maybe we can't love and forgive in that way, in that unconditional way for that long, but maybe one extra moment, you know. And maybe like that staff person that says, oh, Sister Lucy, I don't know how to hold this. I thought of you, you know. And when he thinks, he's actually blessing Sister Lucy just as he's receiving blessings from Sister Lucy. As Sister very clearly said that, you know, you get blessings from everyone. So perhaps we can all stay connected in those values. And it's I also can't under I can't say how I can't I, words are not enough to share how she has made time for this. She has, I mean, of course, at some level, she has met heads of state and like Bill Clinton, everyone, right? And at the same time, as your story said, you know, she knew, oh, you didn't come yesterday, you know. And yeah, like you said, you know, when there is an extra cot, her door is always open. Anyone can come. Any child comes and just sleeps there. So in holding all of that, you know, she's like, you know, I care for the vibration and the values in this room that are in the center of this room. And that's, thank you, Sister Lucy.
Thank you. I am so happy I'm here.
If the Pope seeks your blessings, we also seek your blessings. Okay, Sister?